now, it's time for World of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy. Are you a Bible-believing Christian? I pray that you are. And if you are a Bible-believing Christian, then I know that, like me, you'll totally agree with this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Paul writes, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." Well, that's interesting, the word "we" there. You can know that you are of God. And Paul says, if you are of God, you will not be like many who seek to corrupt the word of God, but instead you will be a sincere Christian. You will be as of God because God's Spirit will infill you and you will speak in Christ. How do you do that? Well, it's necessary to use God's Word because the world will always oppose the true Christian. And even the devil himself stood face to face with Jesus, opposed him, tempted him, but Jesus responded in this way. He said, "It is written." It is written. He didn't say, "It is written," over and over again and again. Jesus didn't say, "It's written, but we'll have to revise it," over and over and over. He simply told the devil, "It is written." Well, today I have a guest. He's been on this program before, but I'm telling you, this gentleman, this man, a good friend of mine, it's been such a fortunate thing for me and my wife, Wanda, and also for our business administrator here in the ministry, Sandra Shepherd, to have gone out to dinner with this man and talk with him and had time to share the things of God. His name is James Sun. He's written two fine books, books that we're offering through this ministry, and you may know of these books already. Perhaps you have them. They're a little rare and hard to get. Not that James Sun doesn't want to get out the message. He certainly does. But you see, these subjects are not popular in Christian bookstores. In fact, most Christian bookstore owners are frightened to death of the subject matter. In fact, I want you to know that what you're going to hear on the air tonight, or today, is regularly being censored across America. As a matter of fact, I was on three radio stations up in the northwestern United States, and we paid to be on the air from our ministry monies, and the radio stations cut us off after only being on the air 2 weeks because we talked about the false new versions of the Bible. They just cut us off. In other words, we're not heard on those stations up in the Northwest anymore, but we're still heard on International Radio Shortwave and a number of other AM, FM radio stations. Oh, that's right. They'll try to censor you. They'll ban what you say. They'll try to boycott your books if you stand up for God's Word. That's why these books, the New Athenians and the Bible Translations Test, and that's the book we're going to be talking about today, they may not be in your local Christian bookstore. And you won't hear these subjects being discussed almost anywhere else on the face of the globe. The devil has closed the door on this knowledge. So, friends, if you want to know about the forbidden knowledge that even the Christian community, so-called, has been hiding from you, now is the program. Now, I want you also to get your pencils and your paper, your pens and your paper ready, because sometime during this program, I'm going to tell you how you can get your own copies of this book set, The New Athenians and the Bible Translation test. I'm going to tell you also how you can get a free subscription, absolutely free, to my newsletter, Flashpoint. And we're not going to charge you for it. I promise you. At the same time, I'm going to give out the address of tonight's speaker and guest, James Sun. You might want to correspond with him. He's a very articulate gentleman, a very caring person, compassionate for the word of Christ. You might want to correspond with him, because a lot of you have been writing me letters and you're having some problems in your own churches and communities. Many people are actually being put out of their churches just for telling people about these things. That's a danger, friends. It might be that after listening to this program and getting James Sun's books, you go tell other people about it in your own church, and they'll kick you out of the church. That's right. This is forbidden knowledge. Well, let's go right into it then. Let's just tell you what they don't want you to know. What is it about this subject that the world and Satan and his agents and the gullible, even among the Christian community, don't want you to know? James Sun, why is it, my friend, that you are such a controversial author?
Well, Tex, it's good to be on your program. I really appreciate being here, and I consider it an honor. And I was just listening to your introduction there and forward for the program, and I'm sorry to hear that those stations have taken you off the air.
Well, it's a great blessing, James. Don't get me wrong. You know, Jesus said, blessed are you when men persecute you. So I haven't been losing a lot of sleep about it, but I do feel very bad for the people in that community because they cannot get this message.
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all, because the ones that are propagating these modern translations, they don't want any opposition. They don't want to hear the truth. And the pastors and the scholars around the nation are going along with this, that Satan is behind it all. Because Satan said, yea, has God said. Satan does not like the purity of God's word. He doesn't want any part of it. Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
Mm.
And so Satan doesn't want to hear that it is written. And so he's going to do everything that he can to stop anybody to show people what the purity and preservation of God's word is.
Boy, well, I tell you what, James, let's just put the old devil to the test today. What do you say?
I'm all for it. Hit him hard.
He accuses the brethren a lot, so let's accuse him of some things today. What do you think?
Okay, well.
We'll have a good time doing it. You know, your book, The Bible Translations Test, is a large format book, and one of the things I like about it is that you compare. Well, first of all, you ask questions, and it's sort of in the format of a Bible study.
Yes, right.
I mean, in other words, you go through the whole book asking questions that really do you believe that God on his throne? Do you believe that God is wiser, stronger, and more powerful than men? Are you thankful that Jesus Christ has come to save lost sinners? These are the basics of the gospel and of the Bible. But then you do something very wonderful. You prove, yes, God is on his throne, and you prove it on the left side of this page. For example, I'm at page 5 now, and you prove it with many verses from the Bible documenting that God certainly is on his throne as sovereign and Lord. But then, on the right-hand side of the column, on each of these pages, you also have the King James verses, some of the same kinds of verses, but you underline the words from the King James Bible that are being attacked in these false new versions. Maybe we should start off by asking, I should ask you this question. Now, today, almost every month now, a new Bible translation comes out. The best known, maybe you should tell us a little bit about the false Bible translations. Which are the most popular, maybe the top three, let's say, or four, And where did they come from in comparison to the King James? Because people need to have this information before we can even begin our discussion in an intelligent way.
Well, the main modern translations now, as far as popularity, is the New International Version, the New American Standard Bible, the Revised Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the Living Bible. Those are, and the New King James Version. Those, I'd say, are the top ones that are out there. And every one of these translations has been tainted to some degree by the Westcott-Hort text. These were two men who lived back in the 1800s, who were very strange people, to say it mildly. They formed a ghost club. They had another club called the Hermes Club, which is Hermes means Satan. And they reconstructed a new Greek text that never existed. It's just a figment of their imagination. It never existed. And yet all these modern translations, when they talk about the older and more reliable manuscripts, they are referring back mostly to the Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus. The Codex Vaticanus was found in the Pope's library, and to this day it's still there. All people have are just facsimiles. The Codex Sinaiticus was mostly, a large portion of it had been discarded in a wastebasket, and if the janitor had been a little earlier, we wouldn't even have it according to what these people tell us. And God, the creator of the universe, came that close to losing his pure word that we wouldn't even have it. And I wish the janitor had got there earlier myself.
So, in other words, these guys, two men, Westcott and Hort, very influential. They were members of these occultic clubs, but they evidently were some fake theologians of their time, and we certainly have those today, the so-called Jesus scholars and all these others. Most of them don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ, don't believe there's a literal hell. It goes on and on, these liberal scholars. And so they took these two manuscripts that were just hokey nonsense, one from the Vatican and one found in this monastery in a wastebasket, and they sort of stuck them together and said, hey, we've got a neat new manuscript that you can use for new versions. Well, these men must have had a real hatred for the King James Bible then, because back in the 1800s, I mean, it seemed like the whole world was being evangelized. Missionary effort was going forth from Great Britain and even the United States around the world, and all the missionaries were using the King James Bible. What do these guys find wrong with the King James Bible? I mean, if the King James Bible was so successful and had been used for some 300 years, I guess, at that time, by the Christians of this world, what was their problem with it? Was it that they were just led by Satan to try to pollute it, or what?
Well, they certainly were duped by him, to say the very least. And they just reconstructed in secret. They kept all of this secret. They were appointed by the churches over in England there, and they did their work secretly. And there was a fellow named John Burgon, and then there was another fellow on the committee that were very much opposed to what they were doing. But Westcott and Hort, they overruled them. They had more political pull. And so that's how that first revised version in 1881 came out.
Mm. Well, they probably had too many people in the Hermes Club, which, as you just correctly stated, Hermes is an ancient and pagan name from Babylon and from Egypt. Just another name for Satan. You're absolutely right.
Now, Edwin Palmer, Mrs. Riffinger, quotes him in her book. Let me get that quote here where I'll quote it correctly. She quotes him as saying, "The Holy Spirit did not beget the Son." All right, now, Mr. Palmer, he believed that the Holy Spirit did not beget the Son, and he stood up for his belief, because in the NIV version, there's seven times that he omits the word begotten.
Let's make sure people understand what we're talking about. Edwin Palmer is the guy who came along in our generation,
right,
and using this defective manuscript put together by these occultists, Westcott and Hort, from a century ago, he gives us the New International Version of the Bible. And so you're talking about some of the defects that are in there because of Mr. Palmer's own beliefs.
Well, to not believe that Jesus is God's only begotten Son, in John 3:18, it says, whoever does not believe that Jesus is that Jesus is God's only begotten Son is condemned already.
Mm.
Already. It's not some future judgment. God has already decreed that anyone who does not believe in that Jesus is God's only begotten Son, then they are already lost, and the only way that they can be saved is to believe. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
And the word begotten, you say, is being attacked by the new versions.
That's right. And it has to, the word begotten text, it has two meanings, and God uses both of the meanings in his written word in the Authorized Version. It means to be the father of, which has to do with the virgin birth of Christ, and it means to give rise to, which has to do with the resurrection of Christ.
Hmm.
Jesus was the first begotten from the dead. Now, all who believe on God's only begotten Son, Jesus, then they are going to be raised one of these days also. But Jesus was the first begotten from the dead to give rise to.
Hmm. Well, you know, Palmer was a member of the Reformed Church. Now, they're very big on predestination. It's very ironic what you said in quoting the Bible there, that they're already condemned. Here's a guy who believes in predestination, but he doesn't believe in the begotten Son of God. And maybe in his case, predestination is certainly an accurate thing of a picture of what's happened to him. Maybe he was begotten for the very purpose of polluting the Word of God. I'm misusing the word, excuse me here, but I think you'll understand it, James.
Well, it's a terrible, terrible sin, and we're not to say in our hearts who shall ascend up to heaven or who shall descend into the deep as far as individual cases, but we are to proclaim God's word, and this is part of the record that he has given concerning his son. In 1 John 5, it tells that whoever does not believe God's record concerning his son makes God a liar. And in that very first verse of 1 John 5, he talks about God begetting his son.
Mm.
And so that's part of God's record. And here's another thing. In the NIV, the New American Standard Bible, and several others, including the New King James, they take out the word New Testament. That's referred to six times in the Authorized Version, but they eliminate that. And that has to do with Jesus dying on the cross. Because when the testator dies, the testament comes into effect. We have an inheritance through Christ. And that inheritance was dependent upon Jesus shedding his blood and dying on the cross. And then God raised him from the dead. And they take out the words New Testament, which refers to the testator and Jesus Christ dying. New Testament, that glorifies Jesus Christ. And to take it out takes away that glorification.
Well, you know, there are many false cults today, and there are many, and probably Palmer was one of those, who did not believe in the New Covenant, who did not believe in the New Testament, that want us to still be under Old Testament laws. So what you're saying, it could be that their own false doctrines caused them then to mangle and distort the very Word of God.
Well, while we're on this subject, Tex, what really gets me, there's a lot of Baptist preachers around that are using the NIV. Now, if they're going to use the NIV, they ought to just quit using the word begotten. They ought to be honest enough, just say, I don't believe in it, that God's that Jesus is God's only begotten Son, and I'm going to use this Bible that has left it out. They ought to be honest enough to do that if they're going to use it, instead of misleading the Lord's lambs and sheep. And a lot of them right here in Lubbock are using the NIV. And I heard one on TV here one Sunday, and he is holding up the NIV, and he said that this does not need to be revised. And then before too long, he was using the word begotten. It's not even in his Bible.
In other words, he's using the King James to correct his NIV, which he believes is the perfect Bible. He's a pretty mixed up fella.
Well, the thing, what's sad about it, I've witnessed the people that go down to that church, and young people, and they're teaching them that the people that are saying that the King James is the pure Word of God, that they're the ones that are wrong.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you're a member of a cult, of course. You're a dangerous man that's suggesting that the King James Bible is the true Word of God. Oh yeah, you're a dangerous threat to Christianity, James.
Well, it's sad that's the case.
Well, it is. The
I guess
case.
You are
a threat to the false Bibles. You are a threat to the false Bibles. You've written two books that are making a great impact. Well, let's go right into your book a little bit here. Not that we're not doing that, but let's just go over some right. For example, starting off right here on page 5, do you believe that God is wiser, stronger, and more powerful than men? Now, the King James Bible certainly makes the case for that. How have the new versions diluted the fact that God is wiser, stronger, and more powerful than men?
Well, they take out the word wise for the most part. Most of them leave it out. Some of them just discredit. But for the most part, it's left out of the modern translations in 1 Timothy 1:17 and in Jude 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. They leave that out. And also when God is called wise in 1 Timothy 1:17, they leave out the word wise.
And
that kind of fits in with the fact that they think that their scholarship, that they have the right to correct God's word.
Well, you know, that's a question I have of you. Now, I was looking at Dave Hunt's The Berean Call. They have a statement of faith. And he's not alone. There are many, many. And I'm just using this as an example because many people believe Dave Hunt is a real Bible-believing teacher. But he has some words in his statement of beliefs. And he says that we, that's his ministry, believe that the Bible, in its original writings, is without error, perfect, and infallible. What's wrong with that?
Well, the thing is that the original manuscripts of the Bible have never been compiled into a book because they were worn out through use, and so they had to be recopied. And some of these ones that have been found and considered older and more reliable are ones that, in all probability, they were preserved because they were not used. But God has preserved his word from generation to generation like he promised. God is a faithful God, and he's going to carry through with what he's told us to do. And he said he would preserve his word from generation to generation.
So in other words, it is what these people are really doing, I call these weasel words. They're saying, because they don't want to admit that what they really believe is that the Bible has errors and is flawed.
Yes.
So what they will say to you is, well, the Bible, as it was first written, or in its original writings, in its originals, in its original autographs, yes, it was perfect, but over time, it's become imperfect because so many men copied it, and there have been errors that have crept into it. So when a person says to you, oh yes, I believe the Bible in its original writings is inspired and perfect, right away we can know these people do not believe that there is an error-free Bible in the world today, right?
Yes, that's just a cop-out because somewhere Jesus says that his words will not pass away. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Wow.
And if God is a true God, which he certainly is, somewhere on this earth there's a true Bible. Otherwise, he would be making a false statement, and we know that God is not false.
Now, Peter and Patty LaLonde, let me ask you to comment on this
point.
In their newest Christian World Report that goes out all over the United States, Peter LaLonde, you know, he's a best-selling Christian author.
Yes.
He's on Trinity Broadcasting Network. They give him that time on that program absolutely free. He doesn't pay for it.
Yes.
And Paul and Jan Crouch, as you know, they're big supporters of the Living Bible. And if he took a real stand for the King James, they'd probably kick him off the air.
In all likelihood.
He wouldn't be on 470 television stations. He doesn't even pay for it. But they make a statement in there. They say and explain what they believe about the Bible versions. And here's what Patty LaLonde, Peter's wife, says. She says, and she's speaking for Peter. This is their official statement. She says that the Bible versions are just like string and tin cans. You know how kids try to communicate with a tin can and string, like a walkie-talkie?
Yes.
She says the Bible versions are just like tin cans and string. The further you get from the original source, the more errors there are in them.
Well, Satan couldn't have said it any better.
Whoa. Satan couldn't have said it any better. Maybe I better ask you to explain that.
Well, the thing is, it's denying God's power and trustworthiness to do what he said he was going to do.
Mm.
And he told Jeremiah to diminish not a word. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Samuel was commended for not dropping any of God's words. And these modern translations, translators, they drop God's words by the handfuls.
I read that and I read it over and over and over again. I could not believe that a person who's on 470 Christian television stations, he and his wife would believe that the Bible is like tin cans and string. The further you get from the original source, the more errors there have to be. In other words, they're really saying, yes, maybe the Bible was perfect one time, but it can't be now because we're so far away from the original source. But you state, and all you're doing is quoting God, that makes you a pretty wise person, James.
Well, we can't go wrong if we quote him. If we're putting it in the proper context and all, and I certainly believe I am.
But God's word, you say, is preserved forever, not... There's none of this stuff about as we go through time, it has to be more and more polluted.
Well, one of the modern theologians that I know in Baptist circles, he's pretty well accepted in a lot of places, Karl Barth, he said that the Bible had errors and blunders all through it. And so these people in the seminaries and all, a lot of them had the same attitude.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, James, we're going to talk about that attitude and more when we come. Each word of God's word is holy. That's what author James Sun says in his The Bible Translation Test. He also notes God's word. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Friends, are you using one of the false Bibles that are popular today, maybe the New International Version, the Revised Standard Version, the Living Bible, the New American Standard? Or maybe you're using the Jehovah Witnesses Bible, which is based on the same corrupt manuscript of Westcott and Hart, their version, of course, being called the New World Translation. Whichever translation you're using, I have a question for you. Will it stand up to the pure Word of God? Well, that's the reason for the Bible translation test, because what James' son does is compare the false Bible versions with the true. Discover what the counterfeits are missing, what they've taken out, what they've mangled and twisted and chopped and butchered and otherwise attempted to destroy. But as James' son shows, you cannot, it is impossible to truly destroy the Word of God. You can only give it a good old satanic try. He shows that God's Bible is perfect, but when you compare it with the others, you'll see amazing differences. A lot of people don't know about these differences, but he has taken the time to go through and underline the most important areas of Bible teaching that are being horribly attacked by the new versions. I want you to have this book, the Bible Translations Test Book. Check it out, my friends. I challenge you to compare, to see what's happening with these false new versions. At the same time, Brother James' son has a book that I've read. It's in giant print, but it's very easy to read. It's well over 200 pages long. It's called The New Athenians, Word Changers at Seats and Tables of Learning, Thieves and Robbers of Words of God. It's a book that will tell you all about the false new Bible versions, where they came from, who came up with them, and it will provide definite, documented proof that the King James Bible is the pure and preserved Word of God. These are the two books that you need in your library. If you've got a pastor friend who's teaching from one of the false Bible versions, you'll want this set of books to give to your pastor. Maybe if your pastor is a King James man, maybe he'll appreciate this book set as a gift. He can put it in the church library, and then everyone can read it because it'll be available for checkout. Now, for your love gift of $12 or more to the ministry, we'll send you both of these fine books, the Bible Translations Test and the New Athenians, both books for just $12. How do you get them? Well, if you're here in the continental United States, you can call us toll-free and use your charge card to order. Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you're overseas and you'd like to order using a charge card, all you have to do is call our regular toll number, and that's area code 512-263-9780. That's 512-263-9780. You can also write to us in the check or money order for $12. Please enclose another dollar to cover postage and handling, a total of $13. Here's the address. Just write to World of Prophecy or to Tex Mars, either one, World of Prophecy or Tex Mars. The address is 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, that's Austin, Texas, and the zip code is 78733. Again, that's World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. The New Athenians, the Bible Translations Test, both for your gift of $12 plus postage and handling. We read, my friends, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Well, the new translations have failed many times. Find out how and in what ways through these great books. And now we return to World of Prophecy with my special guest, James Sun. Well, Brother James Sun, it's so good to have you on World of Prophecy today. And we're just getting cranked up. I like those old Brush Arbor meetings where they went 8 hours. What do you think, James?
That'd be real good. My dad was saved at a Brush Arbor meeting.
Is that right?
Yes, a long time ago.
Well, amen. Well, he's still saved today then.
Well, he, yes. he died in 1990,
mm-hmm.
92 years old.
Well, praise God. Well, that's why I said he's still saved today.
Oh, sure.
Up there in heaven, he's kept. So that's pretty important. 92, and I don't know how old he is by this time, but I'm sure my dad's up there with him. Maybe they're up there discussing this. I don't know. I know they can't communicate with us according to the Bible, but who knows what they know.
Well, it's wonderful to be blessed with good parents.
Well, it really is. Well, we're blessed with a great Word of God, too. James, and in your book, The Bible Translations Test, I want to ask you some questions here. One of the biggest things that I found about the New Age movement to notice or to make note of the fact that they are dangerous occultic movements is that they do not really believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh as God. Now, on page 19 of your book, you ask the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? And you give many Bible proofs from the King James that he did come in the flesh as God. But then on the right-hand column, you show that many of these proofs are under attack by the false versions.
That's right, Tex. Over in 1 John 4:3, it gives the way where we can test the spirits that are not of God. And I'm going to quote 1 John 4:3, and it says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it in the world." Okay, now in that particular verse, they leave out Christ is come in the flesh. That's how we test the evil spirits.
Well, hold on, this is mind-boggling. In other words, there's a test that the Bible gives us to judge whether a teaching is of the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. And these false versions fail that test?
That's right. In several places, in Matthew 18:11, most of them leave out this verse, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." The Son of Man would have to do, it's talking about Jesus' humanity coming in the flesh. And then...
That's missing?
Beg pardon?
That's missing or changed dramatically by the new versions?
That particular verse is missing from most of the modern translations.
That's from the time I was a little kid, I remember that verse. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost.
Oh, yes. Well,
that must be a real inspirational verse to those people who were lost, and they read that and they say, wow. You know, I mean, how many people have given their life to Jesus just with that one verse alone, but now it's been taken out of the new versions?
Right. It's a wonderful promise from God, and yet they omit it.
Right.
And because they say the older and more reliable manuscripts do not have it, and yet those older and more reliable manuscripts are the most corrupt in existence.
Well, the older and most reliable.
That's what they say.
Now, how do they get the words "most reliable"? Who says?
Well, probably Westcott and Hort.
Yeah, the same guys we talked about. The devil says these are the most reliable, and my two agents, Westcott and Hort.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering because You know, here's the King James in use for almost 400 years. Millions of people saved, great revivals around the world, missionary effort. And then suddenly these two yokels come up and say, well, we believe we found some other manuscripts, these two that you've mentioned, that are better and older. Well, first of all, you know, I've met a lot of old, mean people that aren't Christian, and they're just mean and old. And I'm wondering if age has anything to do with anything. I mean, first of all, but when you get to the Bible, God did say he would preserve his word. Can anybody, let me ask you this question. Can anybody prove that the manuscripts that were used to put together the King James, which has become known as the Greek Textus Receptus, can anybody actually prove that, those same manuscripts were not used by the early church?
Well, they came up through Antioch and over where Paul ministered, whereas the others came out of Alexandria, Egypt, and there were a lot of heresies that originated out of Alexandria, Egypt.
You mean the new versions, manuscripts that came out of Egypt?
Yes, and the ones, the Textus Receptus, which the King James Version is based upon, it came up from where Paul ministered. And as I said before in the first part of the program, you know, any manuscripts that were truly of God, they were going to be used over and over. And so naturally they would wear out and they would have to be recopied by some of God's faithful servants. And God oversees. He didn't give his son the incarnate word and let him die on the cross. He came as a virgin born, and he shed his innocent blood on the cross, and then God raised him from the dead. And then these people would have us to believe that God was not interested in protecting the preservation and purity of his word.
Mm.
Jesus Christ, in the flesh, when he died, his flesh saw no corruption in Acts 13. It saw, and then on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached his sermon, two times he refers to the fact that Jesus' flesh did not see corruption. All right, now the written word, in like manner, has not seen corruption because God has overseen it. And he has given to the English-speaking world the preeminent language in the last days. He's given us the old King James Bible, and he's blessed it for about almost 400 years. Every revival that there's, every major revival has been under the ministry of the King James Version.
You know, there's that old saying, and people say it sometimes just to be funny, other times to be scornful. And they say, oh yeah, the King James Bible, you know, it's the same one that the Apostle Paul used. Well, he did, right? I mean, obviously.
I take that as a badge of honor. You know, they make a joke of it, but it's true, because Paul and Silas, they had God's pure word, and it was preserved. And we have God's pure preserved word, and they're all based on the same text, and they're not corrupt texts. They're the ones that God has overseen and has seen to it that we have his pure word.
So in other words, the Apostle Paul came out of the church of Antioch. That was his church. That was his sort of his home church.
Where they were first called Christians.
First called Christians at Antioch.
Right.
And this is where the King James, the manuscripts which underlie the King James Bible, that's where they came out of. So in effect, this is the gospel, the same gospel that Paul preached. But the new versions use these false manuscripts that were found in Alexandria, Egypt. But God, didn't he say something about come out of Egypt?
Yes.
I mean, don't.
He called his son out of Egypt. And many times, talking about spiritual things in the Bible, Egypt is not considered good.
Wow, it's like a prototype or an image of evil, and yet these false Bibles came right out of Egypt.
Yes, and now the Textus Receptus came from that general area over there, not directly necessarily from Antioch, but over in that general area where Paul ministered.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I have a book by Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Freemason and occultist,
uh-huh.
One of the top occult writers of this century. And it talks about Alexandria. He says that Alexandria, Egypt, during the days of the apostles and right after that, during this same Bible time, he says that, and he brags, he says that was the world headquarters of the mystery religions of Babylon and all of the occult world. It was the world center of occultism. And yet, that's where these false Bible versions, others, you read the NIV, you know that its roots are in the, where Satan dwelled, the very headquarters of the satanic mystery religions.
Well, and too, as Ms. Riplinger pointed out, they left out the word Lucifer over in Isaiah.
That's just astonishing. By the way, there is a new Freemasonry book out called A Pilgrim's Path by John Robison, in which he thanks the new versions for rehabilitating Lucifer. That's right. He says that the new versions, James, do a great favor to us all. Because the mean old, he doesn't use the word mean old, but that's really what he says. The old King James Version, he says, states that Lucifer is Satan. He says, but the new versions take that out of Isaiah. And he says, that's good because Lucifer was a great god of light and goodness. Can you believe that nonsense?
Well, there's so many things that are coming to light now that I don't see how anybody could learn of these things and not be shocked. And if they are truly of God, not to come out from among these false versions of the Bible. And yet, so many of the Christian leaders are actually promoting them. One of the most prominent conservatives in the Southern Baptist Convention, he promotes the cassette version of the NIV.
Mm.
And also he said that if for anyone to believe the last 12 verses of Mark as scripture, it's nothing but dim superstition.
Well, I've heard Hal Lindsey tell people that those verses shouldn't have never been there. The King James translators made an error that the Bible doesn't even need those verses. The same thing these people are teaching. And of course, Hal Lindsey uses the New American Standard version.
So does Charles Stanley.
Charles Stanley. And that leads them to question God's word. They're sort of God correctors. Well,
and, along that same subject, Tex, excuse me for interrupting.
No, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, we're talking about where people spend eternity. And it depends upon getting the knowledge of the truth, because God uses his written word to beget others into his family. We have to be born again. We're born again by God's incorruptible word. And so the New American Standard Version, the co-founder of it was Franklin S. Logsdon. And when he came into possession of some of these facts we've been talking about today, because there's a lot of work out there, and he became familiar with some of it, and he wrote Mr. Lockman of the Lockman Foundation and renounced any association with it whatsoever. And he went up and down the country before he died and warned people not to use the New American Standard Bible.
This is the guy that was basically almost a co-founder of the New American Standard.
He wrote the guidelines for it, and he met with the translators. And when the first edition came out, his guidelines was the preface to the first edition.
Oh, and now he's repented of ever having...
Oh, yes, yes.
Isn't that something?
And yet people, main leaders in the churches are using this false version and acting like it's okay, even though the co-founder renounced any attachment to it whatsoever. And we're talking about where people spend eternity, in heaven or in hell. They should have God's pure word, not these false corrupt versions.
Okay, well, let's look at some of these corruptions.
Okay.
Question 20 on your book, in your book, page 20.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people, their lives have been changed when they found out that one of the reasons Jesus came was to heal the brokenhearted. What have the new versions done with that thrilling verse?
Well, nearly all of them, not completely, but nearly all of them have left out the words to heal the brokenhearted.
Mm.
They've just omitted that phrase. And that was where Jesus stood up in the synagogue and told what his ministry was going to be. And he said, today this saying has been fulfilled in your eyes. But they leave out the word to heal the brokenhearted. And yet, you know, all of us at times in our lives we've had broken hearts. And Jesus is there to heal the brokenhearted, because Jesus says, Peter told us to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for you.
Mm.
And he does heal the brokenhearted, and he gives a peace that cannot come any other way other than through a belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, friends, these new versions, as Jameson is telling you, they've taken out the words to heal the brokenhearted. But I don't believe it. Jesus will heal your heart if it's broken tonight. Well, another thing that I found is very sad is page 21 of your book, where you ask the question, do you believe that the Lord Jesus, the Redeemer of the world, while in agony, sweat great drops of blood as he prayed in Gethsemane? Well, what have the new versions done with that, James?
Well, it says in Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Mm.
And yet they questioned whether or not this is actually in the scriptures. And if their older and more reliable manuscripts that they talk about, if they were true to them, they would not even have this in their translations, because they leave it out. And so if they're going to have these older and more reliable translations, why don't they just copy them as they are and even put the Apocrypha in there? Because the Apocrypha, many books of the Apocrypha are in the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. But they don't do that, see, because they know that they would lose readers and and the people just would not believe them.
In other words, they have to leave some of the King James wording in, even though they'd probably like to strip it out.
That's
but they're
right.
Afraid people are so familiar with it, so it really becomes just some kind of a Frankensteinian concoction.
Well, it kind of reminds me of when I was a young boy in Oklahoma. My friends and I would go down on Blue River and swim in Blue River. And if it was an extra hot day, sometimes we'd get kind of thirsty. But we didn't go drink of that old muddy creek water, because over on the bank there was a pure spring water, and we went over there to drink.
Wow.
And it's just like these modern translations are just like drinking old muddy creek water. You know, it might satisfy your thirst temporarily, but it's no telling what it's going to do to you.
Well, you know, one person recently wrote in his newsletter, he was being very critical of me, and also of Gail Ripplinger's book, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And the individual said that he did not agree that the new Bible versions were completely satanic. And the question I had is, what if they're just a little bit satanic? Now, this sort of has to do with your drink of water there. What if the water is just a little bit muddy or just a little bit of impurities? Would that be okay?
Well, I think the scripture, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, applies to this case.
Mm.
And William Tyndale, a large part of the King James Version, it was written, was translated by William Tyndale, who gave his life at the stake for his desire to see that the common people in the English-speaking world had the Bible. And he said that he's on record as saying that he would not change so much as a syllable of God's word.
Hmm.
See, he became a Christian martyr so that we could have God's pure word. And I'm thankful for him and for the others to sacrifice their lives to give us God's pure word.
Amen. Well, one of the things they did it for, or the thing, was Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross, James. And on page 22 of your book, at the bottom right, Colossians 1, verse 14, The King James says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What do the new versions do with that great verse?
Well, a large part of them leave out through his blood, and some of them that do not leave it out, they question it with their despicable footnotes.
The blood, do you find that often in the new versions that the words like blood are left out?
Yes, and the Good News Bible, in about 9 places, I believe it is, they substitute the word death for the word blood. And yet the blood is cleanses the Christian from all sin. It's a propitiation for our sins. Jesus shed his innocent blood for us.
Okay. Now, another thing, I was at a church up in Canada recently. It's called Calvary Church. I sort of like that word. Sometimes I sign my letters, you know, because of Calvary, Tex Mars.
Yes, I've noticed that.
And I like that. That's what we're doing this for, because of Calvary.
Yes.
But there's a problem in the new versions as compared the King James Bible. Now, page 23, you explain this there on question 24. Tell us what the King James says and how they what they've done there.
Well, what it says, and when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. That's from Luke 23:33. This is the only time that the word Calvary is used in the scriptures. And most of the modern, nearly all of the modern translations leave this out. And yet the King James Version translators, when they came to the identity of this place where Jesus died, they took the Latin word that was used on the very day that Christ died. The men that were instructed to go up to lead Jesus up to Calvary, to that hill, and to crucify him, they were instructed to go to the hill called Calvaria. Now, the King James Version translators have transliterated the word, very word, that was used on the day of Christ. The modern translators leave that out.
Just leave that out. Well, you know, James, we're running out of time here, but, you know, maybe we've ended with that greatest word of all. Now, you also show so much more here. For example, I'm looking on page 26. Again, you talk about his blood. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There's just so much that these new versions left out. James, I want to thank you. Please stay on the line. I want to talk with you afterwards, but I want to thank you for coming on World of Prophecy and telling us what's been left out and why of the new Bible versions.
Well, Tex, I sure appreciate the opportunity to do this, and I just ask God for every time that I approach this subject, not to overstate nor understate, but be bold in what he wants me to say.
Well, you've been that today, and I want to have you back again, because there's just so much here, and this is the most important issue that we face as Christians or could ever face. Jameson, thanks so much again, my friend.
Thank you, Tex.
Well, friends, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to World of Prophecy. Remember that the Word of God is pure, it's preserved, it's forever, and it's life-changing. Friends, every week during this same time, you tune in and discover a World of Prophecy.
You've been listening to World of Prophecy with your host, Tex Mars.